This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Yeah, we're going to do this story. We're going to talk about it. Maybe you've heard rumblings. Maybe you've read about it. People was, I think, one of the first to report on it. Just when you thought it couldn't get darker, really. If, again, allegations, what this is, allegations, allegedly, in front of all of this. And maybe it is because this is a story that's like, seriously? Really? Did this actually happened? Power doesn't always roar. Sometimes it purrs, quiet, confident, knowing exactly how much you'll let it get away with. That's the kind of power that Sean Diddy Combs allegedly wielded for decades, polished, untouchable, wrapped in designer fabric and nostalgia. The kind of power that hides in plain sight because we all helped build the myth. We bought the records, we wore the clothes, we called him mogul. But what happens when the mogul becomes a monster behind the curtain, when the man who sold swagger and success becomes a symbol of coercion, humiliation, and desecrated legacy? The newest accusation against Combs is not just another lawsuit. It is a horror show written in the language of power and blasphemy. Because this one didn't happen in a hotel room or a hidden mansion. It happened in a shrine, a warehouse allegedly lined with clothes of the late rapper Christopher Wallace, the notorious B.I.G., the friend whose death helped catapult Diddy into pop culture sainthood. The police report says that in February of 2020, during what was supposed to be a project collaboration with Biggie's son, C.J. Wallace, Diddy allegedly brought a music producer into that warehouse. He invited him to go through Biggie's preserved clothes, to touch the relics, to feel close to hip-hop history. And then, allegedly, according to the report, Diddy sat down on a couch. The allegation is there was something playing on his phone. And then he started doing something, hiding something behind a something t-shirt, a Biggie shirt. Like, what is that? What is he doing? Something one might do on their own, alone, in a bedroom, maybe. Yeah. That's the allegation. That's the allegation that People is reporting. Picture that. If this is true, the shirt of a murdered legend draped over a man who's built an empire off that legend's ghost. The report says he looked at the victim, laughed, removed the shirt to show off, and said, "Come help me out. I'm mincing words of these allegations." When the man didn't, Diddy allegedly threw the soiled shirt at him, landing across his lap and arm, and said, "Rest in peace, Biggie." If this story is true, that's not just assault, that's desecration. That's performance art for a sociopath. It's a message, I don't own the myth, I can defile it whenever I please. And like every story tied to Diddy, the alleged victim didn't run. He stayed in the orbit because that's what people do when they've already invested in the dream. When you're standing in a room filled with platinum plaques, it's hard to believe that the man behind them might be a predator. The predator continued working with CJ, or the producer, rather, continued working with CJ Wallace, because what's the alternative? Walk away and destroy your career? But the tone changed. He says another associate, Willie Mack, started calling him a liar, started threatening him. Then in 2021, the story takes a darker turn, allegedly. He travels to California to a house in the Hollywood Hills to meet with CJ and Willie Mack about their project. Two men grab him, rough him up, throw a hood over his head, They lead him to another room, allegedly, throw him onto an ottoman, and then he hears that voice, the one we've all heard 1,000 times on the radio. The report says he allegedly saw Diddy's black custom Air Force Ones, heard him screaming, calling him a snitch. Then, according to the police statement, Diddy grabbed him by the head and forced things. The guy allegedly pulled away, and apparently it kind of kept going on. Then Diddy allegedly walked out. CJ allegedly came in afterwards, said he felt bad. This is almost like, is this real? Is this real? I don't know. These, again, quite the allegations. And look, there's plenty of raw, real shit out there on this man. But this is the new allegation. The man who built his career on friendship, loyalty, and family, who paraded Biggie's name like a brand, now accused of essaying someone while invoking that very friendship. It's grotesque if it's true. And it sounds familiar to some other stories and other accusations against him. Diddy's been running this playbook for years. Power, humiliation, silence. The public only sees the headlines, the glamorous parties, the yacht photos, the endless king of hip-hop narratives. But the people who worked in that orbit talk about something else. Isolation, fear, and intimidation. The parties where people said no once and were never invited again. The assistants who signed NDAs thicker than phone books. The artists who suddenly lost their careers after crossing him. This is how control works. It doesn't need to kill you, to destroy you. It just needs to make you invisible. And this time he didn't choose just any symbol to defile. He chose Biggie, allegedly. The man whose death defined him, whose name he's been cashing in on for decades. That's the part that chills, I think, everyone the most, because this wasn't random. It was ritual. The act of doing that into a shirt, the line about rest in peace. I mean, that's what almost makes it feel not real. Again, these are allegations, so we can't confirm it is. But it's being reported on by some fairly large organizations. It's power mixed with preservation. That's a man performing his dominance over an entire legacy. And again, with what we've seen, what we've heard, and other allegations over time, yeah, it makes us feel like, oh, well, this might be a possibility. Some people say, why now? Why are all these victims coming out after so many years? The answer is simple, because the system that protected him finally started to crack. You can't intimidate everyone forever. You can't sue every survivor into silence. And now, Diddy's not in a penthouse. He's in a prison, serving 50 months on federal prostitution charges, now transferred to Fort Dix. Yeah, I know the name. But it's like Club Fed. It's very nice if you have to go to a prison. With a release date now set for May of 28. He's appealing, of course. He wants a speedy review, as though justice should operate on his timetable. But no matter what he tells himself, this time he's not in control of the room. And still, the lawsuits continue to pile up. Over 50 civil suits still sitting there, painting a consistent, stomach-turning picture of coercion, assault, grooming, and humiliation stretching back decades. Some victims say they were beaten. Others say they were drugged. All describe the same structure, invitation to exclusive spaces, drugs introduced under a guise of relaxation, and a sudden turn into violence or some sort of sexual coercion. But this case, the Biggie shirt, it carries a special kind of darkness, because it's not just about power, it's about the legacy as leverage. I mean, imagine controlling someone's memory so completely that you feel entitled to weaponize their belongings. Imagine desecrating your dead friend's name as part of your dominance ritual. It's almost poetic in its depravity, if it's real. And what about CJ Wallace? Big E's son is named in the report. He's not accused of assault or anything, but he's there, tied to the project, connected to the timeline. He reportedly felt bad afterwards, but feeling bad doesn't undo the machine. When the person holding the keys to your father's empire behaves like that, how do you even push back? This is how power perpetuates itself. It infects everyone nearby, forcing them into complicity, whether they want it or not. Inside Fort Dix, Diddy's reality looks a lot different. There's no mansions, there's no entourages, no multi-million dollar bottles of champagne, just another inmate in a low-security federal facility eating institutional meals, sleeping on a cot, and attending the same mandatory programs as everyone else. The Bureau of Prisons lists him as eligible for substance abuse programming. And that's about as close to luxury as he gets right now. But outside those walls, the myth, well, it is still collapsing. The mogul narrative is rotting from the inside because this isn't a single scandal. It's an entire ecosystem of exploitation finally being documented. Again, all allegations. The more these reports surface, the more they paint the same picture. A man who didn't just exploit people sexually or emotionally, but culturally. Who turned power itself into performance art. And look, there will always be defenders, the ones who say he gave so many people their start. But here's the ugly truth. Giving someone a start doesn't grant you ownership of their body. Elevating culture doesn't exempt you from the consequences of violating human beings. For years, Diddy's power depended on people believing he was untouchable. That myth is dead. Now we're left with questions. What happens to Biggie's legacy now? What happens to C.J. Wallace, whose father's memory was allegedly weaponized by the very man who claims to have loved him most? What happens to the industry that kept protecting Combs even as rumor after rumor piled up? And maybe this is another rumor. The irony here is suffocating. Diddy built his empire on the back of a man whose life ended violently. And now, decades later, the same empire is being dismantled by his own violence, his own darkness, his own inability to stop seeing people as possessions. There's something poetic about the fall of someone who thought he could rewrite every story, because this story, this one, written in police reports, lawsuits, and survivor statements, doesn't get to be remixed. He can appeal, he can deny, he can file all the motions he wants, but the narrative's no longer his to control. And maybe that's what the moment is all about. Watching the myth of invincibility finally unravel. Watching the industry that called him king try to scrub his fingerprints off the crown. Watching the world look at the Biggie archives, not as sacred artifacts, but as evidence. Because when a shirt once worn by Biggie Smalls becomes part of some sort of essay allegation, that's not just a fall from grace, that's a total collapse of moral gravity, if it's true. That's what happens when someone confuses being a gatekeeper of culture with being a god. So yes, Diddy sits in prison today, but the real sentence is this. The myth he built to hide behind has turned into a museum of horror. Every artifact, every story, every legendary night, re-examined, recontextualized, relabeled as evidence. The walls continue to close in, and this time he doesn't get to curate that exhibit. The Museum of Power is finally burning down, and all that's left is the smell of smoke, the echo of denial, and a shirt that should have been left on the hanger, a relic of a legend. Defined allegedly by a man who swore he'd honor it. That's not just another lawsuit. That's the eulogy for an empire. Do you think this one is true? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And it's not, I don't, comma, no. It's, I don't know. It's hard to know what to believe. It truly is. We'll see how this plays out with the allegations and the police filings on this, and we'll keep an eye on it. It's so grotesque. It's like, you did what? What? Huh? People got weird ways of doing shit if this is real. Sir, Tinning Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find us on YouTube and in the comments there. Your thoughts. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.